My name is Manuel Criollo. I'm an organizer with the Labor Community Strategy Center, where my primary work is with the Bus Riders Union. And today I'm sort of being a reporter to talk about some of the main struggles in Los Angeles that are happening. And today we're going to talk about the release of Rosario Muñoz. On the phone we have Veronica Obregón, who is the niece of Rosario and also one of the leading organizers for the Free Rosario Muñoz Committee that was successfully able to secure the release of Rosario Muñoz. How are you doing, Veronica?
I'm doing fine.
In the early days of December, the battered mother of three, Rosario Muñoz, who had served over 15 years in prison for the conviction of the shooting of her abuser husband and the woman who he was allegedly having an affair with, was released on parole by the Board of Prison Terms, where she had qualified for parole twice before, in January of 2002 and July of 2002. Both of those parole decisions were denied by former Governor Davis. Could you explain to us a little bit about the case of Rosario Muñoz to us, Veronica?
Let me make a correction, though. She attempted to kill her abuser, but she killed his girlfriend instead. So the abuser survived, and he ended up raising her three children. And she was approved for parole by the California Board of Prison Terms in 2002, and that's when Davis denied her that first time. And that's when we decided to organize to secure her release in 2003, when she was again found suitable for parole by the California Board of Prison Terms. California is one of three states in the country where the decision of the Board of Prison Terms needs to be approved by the governor. So that's why Governor Davis and Governor Schwarzenegger are involved at this point with the Board of Prison Terms.
From what I understand is that Rosario's term is not sort of unique. In California, there's about 660 women in prison for the killing of their abusers in self-defense. Can you help us explain the concept of battered women syndrome and the seemingly harsh convictions of women, as I understand at this moment, in California in particular, there's sort of harsh convictions for women who kill their abusers. And even that, compared to men, there seems to be a huge disparity between those two things.
Yes, there is. When my aunt was convicted in 1987, during her trial, there was little, if any, talk about the domestic violence that she endured. When that was brought up, it was considered, it was struck down as irrelevant. Domestic violence you weren't able to talk about that when, before 1992, when they finally admitted evidence of domestic violence in the court system. So, that's why these women would get these really harsh sentences, like my aunt, 15 to life, 15 years to life, and, they'd get and be convicted for second degree, first degree murder when they were trying to, kill their abusers, or when they did kill their abusers. Had my aunt been tried today, she would have gotten such a harsh sentence, because there's more education about domestic violence and the role the toll that takes on a woman. We started working with Free Battered Women, who they're a group of lawyers in North California, who helped us and educated us on how we can organize around my aunt's case, because back in 2002, we were utterly surprised. We thought, okay, she's going to be released. And then Governor Davis intervened and said, no, she needs to stay. So that's when we started organizing, and we created the Free Rosario Muñoz Committee and really brought more attention onto this case. And that is why we believe that Arnold Schwarzenegger allowed her to be freed this year, because this was a high-profile case. We got a lot of press. We organized the community. Got a lot of public support. People really empathized with this situation. There's a lot of women still in prison because Governor Davis, he had this no-parole policy where he would just deny these women their parole. And this is not a get-out-of-free-jail card that we were asking for. These were women that were already paroled by the California Board of Prison Terms. They were found to be suitable for parole, and there was investigations, and they were ready to go, but Davis was keeping them in prison.
that tells us a lot of around sort of the tough on crime sort of, you know, Achilles heel that the Democratic Party has. What's the speculation of why Governor Schwarzenegger, at least at this moment, is initially saying that he will have a sort of non-intervention program in the affairs of the California Parole Board? How do you compare that to Davis? And is there any really broader talk about how to build this into a movement where it's not so much just a statement from the press secretary for Schwarzenegger, but in fact becomes a policy? Is there any broader movement that's being built toward that goal?
Well, I'm kind of skeptical about his position that he's not going to intervene, because until now there's been he's reversed 11 decisions for people found suitable for parole and only upheld 6, and one of those was Maria Suarez, who was paroled by Davis but released during Schwarzenegger's term. So he has like a 50-50 record, which is way better than Davis right now, but I'm still skeptical about his position on this. It's still too early to tell. I'm grateful that he didn't intervene with my aunt's case, but I believe it's because we organized around this case. We got together as a family, formed a nonprofit, and got supporters. And had we not done that, had we not really organized at the grassroots level, she would still be in there.
As I know, at least there is a sort of coalition of forces in the state of California who are fighting against the abolition of the prison industrial complex. From what I understand, I look at the numbers, and the numbers are just obscene in terms of women in prison. I mean, since 1986, which is almost a year before your aunt was in prison, the population of women in California was around 3,564. By September of 2000, as I understand, there was a growth of about 311%, where the population of women in California prison grew to about 11,000. And, of course, there's over-representation of black women and Latinas, where black women, at least I understand, are about 33% of the prison population, and Latinas represent about 30%. How do you perceive that there could be a movement that we can construct sort of out of the model that you were able to build to free your aunt? And what are some of the strategies that work for you that you feel like we can build toward pressuring Schwarzenegger to move forward where the abolition of the prison industrial complex becomes a real thing? At least I've read in the last 2 days, I know he's about to sort of cut the private prison grants, which is huge. And I know that there's a sort of a budget shortfall, and where he sort of is open to it. Do you see sort of a new movement? I know you said it's too early, but do you sort of see an opportunity for us to organize around these issues?
Yes, I do. What did work for us is building coalitions with other organizations like Free Battered Women, who are at freebatteredwomen.org. They were really instrumental in it, training us and guiding us through this process, because we really learned a lot about California politics. We've also worked with Action Committee for Women in Prison, who they were instrumental in supporting us also in throughout the whole year, where we're building coalitions with Adelante and Raza Tomen, Three Strikes. And each one of these organizations have a focus, but the common thread here is the reforming the prison industrial complex, which in California it's a very lucrative business. A very lucrative business, and this is a good time right now too, because the Correctional Officers Union, they were very supportive of Davis. So Arnold Schwarzenegger now is not being very supportive of them now that he's in office. So maybe this is a time where we can take advantage of this situation and keep on doing the work that we're doing. We're not going to stop, even though mine has been freed from the California Institute for Women. We're going to continue to keep on advocating for battered women in prison. But keep in mind, my aunt's not completely released. She was detained by the INS while in there, and now she's being detained in San Pedro detention facility, and she has a court date on January 7th to be deported to Mexico, which is a shame because her son is right now in the U.S. Air Force serving in Spain and most likely will be sent to serve in Iraq. So that's another struggle that we're going to keep on fighting.
Veronica?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Eric Mann, co-host of the show.
Hello, Eric.
Hi. You know, one of the things in the very moving work that you've done is that sometimes when people think about, quote, battered women syndrome, there's an edge of almost a totally rational desire to say that this man has been beating me up. I think I'm going to go get a gun or a knife and retaliate. And then the defense for a lot of uneducated people is sort of like, well, he had it coming. But I think that it doesn't convey enough the absolute terror of women who live daily, the thousands and thousands and thousands of women who are not in prison, who are getting beat from one end of the house to the other while their children are screaming every single day and are almost in a state of delirious non-consciousness. So the point is that often when these murders or shootings take place, it goes way beyond premeditation into a true self-defense in the most fundamental sense. Could you talk maybe a little about that to an audience that would be sympathetic but might not know some of the details of what it's really like?
Okay. Well, you said something very important is that a lot of these convictions of murder are based on premeditation. They argue that these women, they planned these attacks, they planned these murders. But when men kill their wives, they usually do it at that moment when they're beating them, when they're attacking them. So the court system doesn't see that as premeditated. But a woman most likely will not try to kill her abuser right there at that moment because he's going to be able to overpower her because of his physical strength. So what an abused woman would tend to do is wait until she is safe and then until her environment is safe before she confronts her abuser. And that is perceived by the court system as premeditation, when it's basically a self-defense for her. That's why my aunt was convicted with a second-degree murder, because she waited about 3 hours. She waited about 3 hours in the time when she went to go confront her abuser. So they consider that time frame a premeditation. When a woman is being abused, she is suffering from depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress syndrome, which is all basically what battered women syndrome is. So they have poor judgment at the time. These women have few resources. And in 1987, my aunt was an undocumented immigrant. She tried to leave her abuser, but most of the shelters, they told her that they were only able to house citizens, or they were only able to house them for 2 weeks, at which time she needed to return to her abuser. There was little resources for battered women. Now there still is little resources too for undocumented battered women, which is there's a big need in this community also. So those are some of the points around battered women syndrome, that when you try to defend yourself or even confront your abuser, that you're experiencing battered women syndrome.
Well, Veronica, thank you again. I mean, I think we definitely are interested to sort of follow up on, I know that the family is going to fight the deportation orders from the INS. Please keep us in touch. Can you repeat the date of her hearing? And I know that you're asking for folks to come out and sort of support for that day.
Well, it's also Maria Suarez's date is January 7th, and she's going to have a rally outside of the prison also. So I encourage listeners to go out to support that Maria Suarez's case also. It is January 7th at the San Pedro Detention Facility. We also have a website, which is freerosariomunoz.org, and it's Munoz because there's no
no ñ
in. So it's freerosariomunoz.org, and you can visit our website, and we have email there. And we'll keep our press releases there also. So,
well, thank you again, Veronica,
for having us.
Definitely. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Manuel Criollo on KPFK, and we just finished talking to Veronica Obregón, who is the niece of the recently freed Rosario Munoz and one of the key organizers for this committee to release her aunt. We'll be right back.